Hey everyone, my name is Dr. Jules Cormier. I'm a doctor, teacher, and nutritionist, and I help people put more plants on their plates. Evidence-based nutrition gave me my life back, and I'm here to tell you all about it. Back to the podcast, and today it's another episode of Wing It Till You Win It. So we're going to be talking about iron, and we'll stop the talk when I feel like I've said enough about iron. So you might ask, why iron? Why should I care? Well, iron is the most common mineral deficiency worldwide. Regardless if you're vegan or plant-based or omnivore or carnivore. So iron is something that you want to pay attention to, and probably even more so if you're on a plant-predominant diet. Now, the Canadian Food Guide in 2019 went plant-based. Pretty much they changed the meat and substitute food group for a protein food group, and they removed the dairy food group and replaced the beverage of choice with water. So a lot of people found that controversial, because what happens is the most people get their iron from red meat, and most people get their calcium from dairy. So as soon as you remove these two food groups, it does require careful planning to get your calcium and iron from other sources. So if you're one of the listeners that have been listening to my content for a while, and you've decided to lower the amount of red meat that you consume, you may be unwillingly lowering the amount of iron as well. So that's why I'm always saying it's not about what you remove from your diet, it's what you add, so you naturally crowd out the other things. Or if you decide to completely remove something from your diet, make sure that you know how to replace it to cover your nutritional basis. Red meat being the perfect example of a food that supplies probably most of your iron. So if you just cut out red meat all of a sudden and don't think about where you're going to get your iron, you may become iron deficient like every other person that's either not absorbing iron or simply not eating enough. So iron is a main component of a protein we call hemoglobin, and hemoglobin is a main protein that is required to transport oxygen in your red blood cells. Now, iron also forms myoglobin, which is another protein that helps to transport oxygen in muscle. So if you do not have enough iron in your diet, or you don't absorb it, or you're losing too much to in your menstrual period, for example, for women, you might develop iron deficiency. Once iron deficiency starts, you'll start having lower quality hemoglobin, and that makes your red blood cells smaller. So we call it microcytic anemia. So what happens is that your iron gets low, your hemoglobin gets skewed up, your red blood cell production goes down, they produce smaller red blood cells. At the end of the line, you are caught in a condition called iron deficiency microcytic anemia. Now, if your red blood cells start to plummet and go down and you develop anemia, you might get a lot of different symptoms like fatigue, lightheadedness, shortness of breath. You might get, your skin might get paler, the white of your eye, or the lining of your eye, the sclera, might get paler as well. And I mean, it's a very unpleasant condition to deal with. Now, anemia, iron deficiency anemia, is quite common. It's more common in women than men simply because they lose blood and lose iron during their menstrual period. And that's why the RDAs are quite different from the male to the female. Now, we recommend males to consume about 8 milligrams of iron per day, with 18 milligrams being the normal range for women who are menstruating. Pregnancy and lactation, the RDAs go up to 27 milligrams. And just keep in mind that you can actually consume too much iron. So we also have an upper limit of about 40 milligrams that you do not want to go higher than. The thing is with iron is that iron in excess is actually highly oxidative, which means it creates inflammation and can lead to many problems down the road. Animal products contain a type of iron called heme iron. Now, heme iron is actually much more inflammatory than non-heme iron, which is the type of iron that you'll find in plants. Some people will say, well, it's more difficult to absorb non-heme iron from plants than it is to absorb heme iron from animal products, and I completely agree with that statement. What some people might not recognize it is that that might actually be protecting you against iron overload. As with a lot of things, too much of a good thing can actually put you at risk. So absorbing too much iron can increase the risk of iron overload. And if you have too much iron circulating in your blood and too much iron stored in your liver as ferritin, the protein that stores liver iron, you might run into problems. So kind of keep in mind that too much iron is detrimental for your health. Now, you can measure your iron levels either by serum iron, by transferrin, which is the protein that transports iron in the blood, or by ferritin, which is the protein that stores iron in your liver. So when your doctor is ordering a blood test, he's likely looking at all of these parameters to try to see where the iron issue resides, if you have one. So, depending on the lab, on the units of measure that are used, ferritin levels can be anywhere from 5 or 6 to 300. And for most people, a safe spot is probably between 75 and 150. Now, if your iron is too low, if your ferritin levels are too low and you're storing too little iron in your liver, you might feel fatigued and you might be in a state of where you have no reserve in case you go days without eating iron-rich foods, or for women, if you lose a lot of blood during your menstrual period. So low ferritin levels are maybe protective against oxidation and inflammation, but put you at risk for symptoms of iron deficiency and also for anemia if you're losing iron or you're not consuming too much in your diet. Too much iron, as seen, for example, in hemochromatosis, that's a condition where there's unregulated iron absorption, basically open doors in your intestinal wall where all the iron that you're consuming is getting absorbed in your blood. These people might actually develop iron overload. Now, that can give all sorts of crazy symptoms from fatigue, discomfort, muscle pains, and joint pains. And the treatment is simply giving blood, donating blood, or getting a phlebotomy where you remove blood simply to reduce the iron to safer ferritin levels. So the sweet spot for ferritin levels is probably somewhere between 75 and 150. That's where you have enough iron to support basic bodily functions, but you do not have too much iron to create too much oxidation and inflammation. So we can check that right through your blood I mean, iron can give a whole bunch of unfortunate symptoms. It can even cause restless leg syndrome, amongst all the ones that I've already listed. So make sure next time you do a blood test to consider checking your iron and knowing your levels so you can optimize them. Now, the difference between someone who would have a ferritin level of 20 or a ferritin level of 150, both are considered normal, but one is maybe more optimal than the other. For example, in the endurance athlete. So even without anemia, even without a drop in the number, shape, or content in hemoglobin of your red blood cells, people that have higher ferritin levels, closer to 100, 125, might have less shortness of breath and less fatigue than people that have low normal ferritin levels. So it's always a matter of balance between having too much, having too little, and you'll figure out where you kind of perform the best. Now, my hemoglobin is perfect, but my ferritin levels usually hover between 20 and 30. Now, I don't supplement with iron. I just kind of get iron through my diet, and we'll talk about that soon. But when I am before, for example, a competition or running a marathon or a half marathon or long distances, would I feel better with a ferritin level of 90 to 95 than I do currently at 20 to 30? Maybe I'd feel less short of breath. Maybe I'd have more power and energy during these long runs. And that remains to be seen. I might try that in the future. But if you're not anemic and your ferritin levels are normal, we know that it's highly inflammatory taking iron supplements long term. But that being said, it's even more detrimental to your health to have very low iron levels. That's probably much more inflammatory, having anemia. So do not hesitate to take iron supplementation if your doctor recommends it, okay? So the other thing about iron is that you have to consider how much you're absorbing. So as I mentioned before, heme iron is much more absorbable. That's the iron from animal products than non-heme iron that exists in plants. But there are other things you need to consider to increase iron absorption. Well, firstly, if you eat iron-rich foods, try to combine them with vitamin C. So vitamin C foods like oranges, for example, or peppers or strawberries will absolutely increase the amount of iron that you're absorbing at that meal. So combine your iron, regardless it's from food or supplements, with vitamin C. It'll drastically improve the absorption of the iron. Also keep in mind that some things will decrease iron absorptions. So the tannins in coffee or in tea, for example, and you want to separate these two things with iron by about 1 or 2 hours. So if you're struggling to get enough iron, start by reducing the amount of these compounds, tea and coffee, that you're consuming at the same time as you're consuming iron-rich foods. Make sense? So, which plant foods contain iron? Well, plant foods do contain iron under the form of non-heme iron. Sometimes they're a little bit more difficult to absorb, and you do need some careful planning. You're much better taking small doses of iron from your diet regularly than a huge dose at the same time, because iron absorption, except in cases of hemochromatosis, a genetic disorder, heme iron and non-heme iron are tightly regulated. That means that your body does not want to absorb too much. You are much better fractioning the dose in small, frequent meals. Now, you can get sources of iron in all red meats and animal products, but they do come with saturated fat, cholesterol, a more highly inflammatory form of iron, which is heme iron, and they come without the beneficial fiber, vitamins, micronutrients, phytochemicals that you see at much higher levels in plant foods. So consider finding plant foods that you like eating that do contain non-heme iron, because generally these foods are healthier. So you can find non-heme iron in legumes like beans. You can find it in dark chocolate, at least 45% dark chocolate, in lentils, in spinach, in other dark leafy greens or collard greens. You can find it in the skin of potatoes, in nuts and seeds, primarily like pumpkin seeds. You can find it in enriched rice or bread, and obviously in supplements. I'll link to photos of my favorite iron fortified foods, because you can absolutely find them in other things like lentils, soybean, lima beans, quinoa, brown rice oatmeal, cashews, sunflower seeds. You can find it in tomato sauce and even in blackstrap molasses, just to name a few. So, make sure that if you're changing or transitioning or increasing the amount of plant-based foods in your diet, make sure to plan ahead and just kind of make sure that you're increasing the iron in your plants, because if you're doing it by reducing red meat, your iron levels might get low and you might end up suffering from iron deficiency symptoms. Like I said, fatigue, weakness, shortness of breath, brain fog, hair loss, brittle nails, and sensitivity to cold. So, and your iron requirements will change on whether you're a man, a woman, you're pregnant, menstruating, lactating, and even endurance athletes can have low levels of iron because of their strenuous exercise. There's something called foot strike hemolysis, which is just the constant beating of the feet on the ground during long distance runs breaks red blood cells and can actually cause iron deficiency anemia. Also, keep in mind that certain medical conditions like kidney failure or inflammation might impact iron absorption. So consult with your doctor to see if you need more iron. If you are going to take iron supplements and you're over the counter and you're just looking at the bottles, it is normal. If you're confused, you'll probably notice two different numbers on these iron supplements. Some people see a smaller number and a higher number. One of them, the higher number, is the chemical amount of iron or number of milligrams of iron bounded to salts like ferrous sulfate, which is sulfate and iron, or gluconate or ferrous gluconate, which is gluconate plus iron. That's very often where you'll see the two different types of numbers. The smaller number is the amount of elemental iron that you would have in over-the-counter supplements. Typically, that's the amount that meets the RDA. In prescription iron supplements, you'll likely get anywhere from 50 to even 150 milligrams of elemental iron to try to correct the iron deficiency anemia as quickly as possible. And you can become overdosed you can get too much iron and suffer from iron toxicity. So iron toxicity can even cause a lot of different signs that are vague, but there are also quite disturbing, like constipation, nausea, upset stomach, vomiting, abdominal pain, and even joint pain. So just make sure to not take too much. Iron is good, but it's good in a safe range. they'll try to find recipes that include the sources of iron and also include sources of vitamin C to absorb more, and make sure to include it in your diet. Never hesitate if you're transitioning towards a plant-based diet to get your iron levels checked. Most doctors will accept doing that, and then you'll know where you stand. I personally check my iron levels once or twice a year, and I've always hovered towards a ferritin of about 20 to 30, probably, or maybe I would feel even better having higher ferritin levels, but I feel great at these levels, and I know that my inflammation is down and staying as low as possible. At some point, I might consider increasing my iron through supplementation just to see if I feel better, but for now, I feel perfect right the way I feel today. Cool. Right on. I hope this makes sense. I hope that you consider planning for enough iron in your diet. Like I said before, it is the most commonly diagnosed mineral deficiency worldwide, much more common in women who menstruate. And that's why, and that explains the 18 milligram RDA for women and the 8 milligram for men. So hopefully this helps. Hopefully this gets you closer to your health journey. Focus on adding non-heme iron foods to your diet instead of removing foods. These healthier sources of iron will naturally crowd out the ones that contain saturated fat and cholesterol and heme iron. So that's why I urge people to be careful. If they're removing completely the red meat from their diet, that's maybe where you're getting most of your iron. So just make sure to kind of overcompensate by including the iron in plants. Get your levels checked, see your doctor. Preventing diseases are much easier than curing them, and a lot of them can be prevented using plant-based nutrition. Cool. All right. You have an awesome day. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace out. Yo, plant-based buddies. Don't forget to go check out my website, plantbaseddrjules.com. That's where you'll find links to download my free recipe book, my transitioning guide, and my supplement guide for athletes. And there, you'll also find links to future live events, to my YouTube channel, my social media handles, my blog, and even my other podcast episodes. Now, stay on the lookout for my upcoming e-course, where we'll be using video courses to teach you everything from nutrition science to how to cook and create amazing plant-based meals. And the best way of showing some support is by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review for this podcast. That's the best way to help me spread my message to more people. Right on. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you at the next episode. Peace.